This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
If you like to keep your cooking simple, I'm sure you've probably thought once or twice about the four ingredients phenomenon. And a phenomenon it is. Four Ingredients was the best-selling book of 2008, despite the plethora of cookbooks and celebrity chefs on the market. Kim McCosker is one half of the Four Ingredients team. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Katrina.
What's this I hear about you jumping out of a plane recently?
I know. My brother's bought, my mum and I both had a milestone birthday this year. She turned 60 and I turned 40, and my brothers racked their brains as to what to get us for a gift. So they bought us a skydive.
You actually did it?
Well, we put it off for 6.5 months before the company rang and said, you must jump this weekend. And we've gone, oh, gulp, okay. from 8,000 feet. But the scariest thing was dangling your feet over and you kind of do this backward banana flip out and then you free fall for about 40 seconds, which feels like when you're in the air about, I don't know, 3 hours. But yeah,
just thinking about it.
Yeah, once you then sort of start to float, you know, and observe life from a calmer, gliding kind of angle, it was quite nice. But yes, I think I'll stick to writing cookbooks.
Yeah, sounds better to me. But Kim, you were actually a financial advisor by trade. So how did you end up writing a cookbook for the first time?
I know. Well, I'd had the idea for ages because I was, our head office was based in Melbourne and I was between Queensland and Melbourne a lot and on the road. And, you know, by the time you finally got home, all you wanted to really do was be a mum and be the best mum you possibly could be. So I just was looking for inspiration of an afternoon to get into and out of the kitchen to create good, simple, healthy, quick food. And when I go to my cupboard and look at a recipe book, generally it'd have like 9, 10, 11 ingredients. And I don't know, I wouldn't have 9 of them. And
exactly.
And one's a spatchcock. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Where do you get a spatchcock? Yeah.
Has to be easier than this. So then when Rachel, who I have known, we went to kindy together, would you believe, all my life. She had written a book with 6 other women. And when she showed me her book at a barbecue, you know, as you do, you're very proud of a friend who's done something like that. A couple of drinks later, and I had said to her, I've always had a really good idea for a book. And, you know, and she said, what's that? And I said, a cookbook where everything is cooked with just 4 or fewer ingredients. And as you can appreciate, at a barbecue with women where there's like 6 of us sitting together, you know, we just chat. And then all of a sudden, everyone just went quiet. And it was that moment where everyone's gone,
that's a great idea.
I buy that book. That book sounds great. I need that book. And then it was really from there that we just went, okay, well, let's do it.
And so did you do any study or any kind of formal training in cooking or nutrition or anything like that?
Yes, we spent 36 years eating.
Right.
Very, very skilled, to be honest. In fact, that's what, you know, our commonality was with food, was the fact that we absolutely love to eat it. Uh-huh. And then we were just after shortcuts. And to be honest, it's not about that. It was just about, okay.
Simple, normal cooking kind of thing.
Simple, normal cooking. Yeah. Show me how to create a quiche with the recipes or the ingredients I have in my cupboard. Teach me how to make a shepherd's pie with those same ingredients. Show me how to make some simple, easy biscuits, cakes and slices with the ingredients I already have in my cupboard now. So we kind of just went to everyone we'd ever known, our mums, our aunts, our friends. If I had met you that year on a tennis court with the kids or at a swimming carnival, I would have been asking you for a recipe and invariably you would have went, gee, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So we were quite in the pit of our bellies. We kind of thought at the end of having this manuscript, you know, so to create a manuscript, to cook everything, to whittle it all down to our criteria, it took about 10 months. And then to go to the publishers of the land and say, look, we think we've got a really good manuscript here because, you know, thousands of people have told us so, to realise that because essentially we weren't famous, we couldn't even get past the secretary, yeah, it became apparent very early on that we would have to self-publish. So that's what we did. But, I mean, we didn't realise at that point that self-publishing a book means you also self-fund and also have to self-market. So, you know, to be honest, Katrina, were we on a trajectory to write a bestseller? Absolutely not. To be honest, we just wanted to simply repay our mortgages.
Yeah, but I'm sure that you wouldn't have self-published the book if you didn't think it had legs.
Oh, I mean, no.
Because it's a risk, isn't it?
And Al, when you have, you know, to write anything, whether it's a book or a poem, whatever, you go to your computer or a piece of paper and it's one piece of blank paper, and that is where you start. So by the time you have compiled a manuscript, which in our situation was about 160 A4 pages, you have sweated over every comma, every full stop, what to underline, what to italics. Mm. Not only that, you have cooked at least three times what made it into print because you wanted the best of the best there. So a lot of energy, a lot of dollars, a lot of time has gone into that. And, you know, time's our most valuable asset, and there was no way we were just going to let that all be done for nothing.
So did you have any expectation, though, that it would take off the way that it did?
Oh, gosh, no, hun. And especially when you go to the trade and the trade, who are supposedly the experts, are telling you, you're dreaming. You're not even cooks, for goodness sake, let alone a chef. You know, and it was March 2007. The global financial crisis hadn't really hit us. It was sort of starting, but it hadn't really, you know, we didn't know the impact of it. Jamie Gordon and Nigella were massive in the market. You know, our book had a bright green line cover. Well, green jacket books don't sell, apparently, least of all those with our pictures. Mm. It was just all this doom and gloom. Like, you know, according to them, we were never going to sell the original 2,000 books that we printed. But I sit here talking to you today, and that original 2,000 print run that was never going to sell has gone on to print more than 2.6 million copies alone. It's spawned three other titles, and collectively the group of titles have now printed, we've now printed over 3.5 million copies. We've become the biggest self-published title in Australian history. There's TV shows, there's cookware ranges, there's iPhone applications. It's just amazing. Did we expect any of this? Absolutely not. I think if someone, to be honest, had showed us this was the path you could follow to achieve what we have done, we would have went, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
All the work we would have to do. You know, we were going to get time to do that. We're busy people anyway.
So yeah, yeah.
Of naivety right at the onset served us particularly well in this instance.
Well, I think, though, that you nailed on something when you were saying you were competing against Nigella and Jamie and, was it Gordon? Mm-hmm. And the fact is that I guess your ideas are simple, your mums, you're appealing to other mums, and for those people who don't have the time or the energy or the ingredient list or the budget to cook some of those fancier foods, your cookbook can just be an everyday thing that you can use, and I guess that's why you actually had something different in the market, didn't you?
Yeah.
Which is helpful. I wanted to ask you, though, now that you're, you know, this cooking sensation, how much pressure do you feel when you have people over for dinner?
Oh, hun, I entertain all the time. I actually cook. I have a chef in my life, and we cook and create every Monday and every Thursday. And on those nights, it's either all my family or my neighbours, my friends. Everyone gathers because there's so much food. And then we kind of critique it. Okay, I think this needs a little bit more curry powder. I think you need to up the fresh herb in this one. They're definitely more garlic. Did anyone season this soup? You know, and then we kind of get the better.
But do people sit there counting the ingredients going, hang on, wait, there's parsley and there's coriander. That's five.
Just go, are you serious? Is there only four ingredients in this? Like, to be honest, you'll be amazed what you can make. And the list just gets longer and longer. Just this morning, I was on my computer early and, you know, I was looking at these recipes that have been sent in from overseas overnight. And I think, oh, my gosh, that's a good idea. Mm. There's always content. I mean, it's just cooking it, isn't it? But, no, I entertain all the time. The trick, though, in my life, entertaining so frequently, is to do so quickly. I want to create the illusion I have been in the kitchen cooking for hours before your arrival. Mm. But really, with only four ingredients, I've got in, whipped it up and got out.
So,
and, you know, present it beautifully. Remember, food is always first eaten with the eye. You look at it and you go, oh, my gosh, just can't wait to dive into that because it looks so appealing. So, I mean, I present food beautifully, and I've taken lots of tips from many a chef and lots of tips from many a teacher at food expos and cooking classes as to how to do that.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, Kim, what about you give us a recipe, one of your kids' favourites, something that your children like to eat, so other mums might be able to make that and get their children to eat it too.
Well, breakfast this morning, I have a big bowl of a variety of citrus on my bench top, and I thought, oh, what am I going to give them for breakfast this morning? If you have a cup of flour, a cup of milk, and an egg, whisk your egg, add your milk, whisk it, add your cup of self-raising flour until quite a thick paste. And then in lieu of sugar and things like that, grate in the zest of an entire orange. And you have citrus pancakes. You have the batter for citrus pancakes that are absolutely beautiful. And while I was doing that, I got a little bit of maple syrup and I took the rind off another piece of citrus mandarin and I popped it into the maple syrup and then I served it with citrus-infused maple syrup. And the kids just love it. Beautiful. Mm. And it's naturally sweetened by the goodness of the fruit. So that's one, but there are a million. Another one, if you're looking for dinner tonight, would have to be one of the kids' absolute favourites. I would cook it at least every 2 weeks, is our shepherd's pie. Brown some mince, and mince I love. A little mince goes a long way. Mm. You can always buy it on sale somewhere every single week. Brown your mince in a non-stick frying pan, a little bit of water if it starts to catch, and then tip into it, and this is your star ingredient in this recipe, tip into it a jar of fruit chutney. Reduce the heat and let it simmer and thicken and bubble. Pour it into your casserole dish or your baking dish and then top it with your mashed potato and some tasty cheddar cheese or fresh parmesan cheese. Season slightly and then bake it in a 180-degree oven for about 20 minutes or until the cheese is golden and bubbly. And that, as a basic four-ingredient shepherd's pie recipe, is absolutely sensational.
Mm.
If you have kids like me, you could grate into it a little bit of zucchini or parsnip or carrot. You know, they don't know because of the colouring of the chutney, sort of, it just all looks like mince when it's eaten.
I did that in my spaghetti sauce, yep. Grate in the carrot, grate in the zucchini.
Yeah, no, whatever. But no, I mean, it's all about deception with kids, isn't it? And I mean, even then you don't know. I don't have all the answers. I have three beautiful boys who are the light of my life. They're 8, 5, and 2, Katrina. And sometimes I'll serve up something one day and they'll love it and the next day, I don't like that. And I go, yes, you do.
Yeah. We've all had that experience. Oh, lasagna was your favourite last week.
Oh, my goodness. Give me strength.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Kim. Lovely to talk to you.
No problem, hon.
That's Kim McCosker, one half of the Four Ingredients team. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy cooking, everyone.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.